Well, good morning. It's good to see you all here on this Sunday morning. We're going to sing one more round of Christmas music for the year, and then not until next year. Yeah, then patriotic next. Praise the Lord. All right, well, our first song is going to be on page 251. It came upon the a midnight clear. And stand if you can. It came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all-gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. For lo, the days are hastening on, by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when peace shall over all the earth its ancient splendors fling, and the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Amen. And right across the page, a silent night, holy night. Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. All right, our next song will be Go Tell It on the Mountain. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. While shepherds kept their watching, or silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. The shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Go
tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Down in a lowly manger, the humble Christ was born and brought us God's salvation. That blessed Christmas morn. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Amen. All right, our last Christmas song for the year, Away in a Manger. Please welcome Brother Marco to the pulpit.
There we go. There we go. All right. Birthdays. Here we go. First birthday, 12/27. We have Kristen Mikus. Did I say that right? Kristen Mikus' birthday. Doesn't say how old Kristen is, but I guess she knows and her family knows. Next birthday is Mr. Lee Tosh. He's not with us here this morning, but happy birthday to them. Any other birthdays in the house that we didn't get or maybe missed? All right. I just want to make sure that. All right. Well, Jeremiah, we want to start the birthday song.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
Amen. Happy birthday and God bless you. All right. Children's church, we got some leaving out for children's church this morning. You know, I just get so used to having kids in the house right here and hearing them and listening to them. It's just kind of part of the rhythm. I was thinking about Christmas Eve service when little Leah was back there singing when I was preaching. I say she was singing. I'm not sure what she was talking about, but it was a blessing. All righty. Well, good morning, and God bless all of you who came out here this morning. Let's see. It's a beautiful day outside, a great time to come into the house of God and to worship and praise Him. And I thank you so much for the opportunity. We will pray for those who couldn't be with us this morning. Pray for Pastor Steve and his family as they are going through this situation they're going through. I know the Lord's hand will be upon them. Let's see, if you will, we're going to start off in Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. If you want to start off there with me, Philippians chapter 3, we're going to read verses 13 and 14. It's page 1405 if you have my Bible. If you would like to stand for the reading of God's Word, if you can. All right, Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. The Bible says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of a high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Thank you for standing. You may be seated if you'd like. If you will, though, join me in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We thank you so much for all that you've given us. We thank you for your many blessings, your many provisions. Thank you, Lord, for watching us over this year with all the calamity going on, with all the things going on out there that we just don't understand and can't grasp. But, Father, we know that you are in control. We know, Lord, that you created the heavens and the earth, and all authority have been given to you. So, Father, just give us the boldness to walk in faith. Give us the boldness, Father, to stand on the foundation of your word and your promises and your love. Father, we pray that you would forgive us where we fail you. You would forgive us, Lord, when we say things and do things that is not pleasing to you, to your word, and to your will, and to your way. We pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit will have its will with this congregation, with this church, with this man here this morning. I pray, Father, that you would just give me a boldness and a clarity to preach the message of God, the word of God, and the truth of God. And I pray, Father, for all those who are listening here this morning in the congregation, in the house, and all those listening online, Father, that you would give them eyes to see and ears to hear. That even now at this moment, Lord, you would open their hearts to be receptive to your word and to your will and to your way. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. You know, God is the giver of many, many wonderful things. We come to him in faith in Christ, and he gives us what the Bible calls as a new birth. Or you may recognize the term as born again. And he gives us a new nature. And he gives us a new heart. And then he gives us a new life, and he gives us a new hope. And then that, he gives us a new task, a new purpose. And finally, when we get to the end of this way, he gives us this new body, this new glorified body. One where we don't have to worry about sickness, and we don't have to worry about death. We don't have to worry about COVID-19, and we don't have to worry about cancer, and we don't have to worry about diabetes. And then he also gives us a new home in a city called heaven. And I just want you to know that that's a real place, not some made-up place just in the Bible, but it's a real, actual city. You know, in a few days, Lord willing, he will give us a new year. I think about, 5 days out from now, new year. And this means for a lot of us, it's a new start. It's a new beginning. Now think about this year. Maybe this year you haven't done so well. Maybe you didn't get accomplished all the things you wanted to get accomplished. But you get a new chance. You get a new chance to make a new start, a fresh start. We have this kind of saying in my house is like, I'm going to do this, and I'm finally going to get my life together. I'm going to get my life together, and I'm going to clean the house. You know, my wife says, "I'm getting my life together today, guys." I'm like, man, we're in our 40s. I'm hoping it's together by now. Okay, I'm in my late 40s. I'm hoping it's together by now. Oftentimes I tell the kids at school, I don't know what I'm going to do when I grow up. I think I'm going to be a preacher. They just kind of look at me like, aren't you already? Yeah, I don't know, right? But I think that's what I'm going to do. If you will, turn to Psalms chapter 1, and we're going to read verses 1 through 3. Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and the Bible says this: Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the river of water. He bringeth forth his fruit in his season, his leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, doesn't that sound like a scripture for a new year? And once again, I would say, Lord willing, if God allows us to, we will see a new year. Because I know, I don't know about you, but for me, the last month, I've had at least 4 to 5 family members and friends who did not see this new year. It was just all of a sudden something come up and something happened. And I think about that, and as God allows us to see this new year, and it's not because of something that we've done that was good, but it's because of what God has done that was good. When we think about it, how the Lord has heard our petitions, he's entertained our supplications, he's answered our prayers, he's healed our bodies, he's directed us, he's prepared you, he's redeemed you, he's restored you, he has revived you, and if you are born again, he has adopted you, and he has blessed you in the year of our Lord, 2020. You know, as a young person, 2020 sounded like something on Space Odyssey, like a year I would never make. It just sounded so far in the future, I don't know. It just sounded like it was beyond my grasp. And I think about when we hear about New Year's resolutions, this is the time we set New Year's resolutions. And usually these resolutions range from spending more time with family. I thought about that over this Christmas season. As I was working on this message, I was sitting on the couch with my laptop, and usually I have a process where I pray it out, read it out, write it out, pray it out, read it out, write it out. And I was watching my kids on the floor play with their Christmas toys, and I'm sitting there working, and I thought, man, life is good. And some of us may be thinking about we need to stop bad habits. Maybe these are habits we needed to stop years ago, but for some reason we could never just quite let them go. Maybe for some of you it's to stop smoking. Maybe that was your New Year's resolution. This is the year I'm going to stop. For others, maybe it's I need to stop drinking. For you here in the audience this morning, maybe it's I need to stop, and I'm just going to put a blank. You fill it in. I think we all got things that we work on. We all got things that we look at this year and think, what can I do to be better this year? But most of the time, they do end up in the result in failure. Many of these resolutions, like time and time again, I tried and I tried and I tried. And the reason sometimes they often fail is because resolutions are self-imposed, are self-willed and self-propelled ideas. And sometimes, unfortunately, they don't include the power of God or the Word of God. I would say the best resolutions, they actually come from God through the Scriptures that are inspired by Him for us. Because the Bible contains God's plan and God's purpose for your life. You know, I think about, I like to listen to the Bible a lot on audio on my phone. So much so that my wife bought me some little headphones, and I can walk around the house and I can be listening to the Bible on my phone and listening to it. But one of my favorite, audio Bibles is by Max McLean. I don't know if any of you ever heard of Max McLean, but he's just got this voice. And he says this thing when he's reading the Bible, and he says, listen to the Bible. It's great for the soul. Man, it's just awesome. And so I thought that's what we would do here this morning. We would listen to the Bible and we would make some New Year's resolutions from the Word of God and the power of God. Maybe make a New Year's resolution to love one another. And sometimes it sounds so simple to love one another. If you'll look with me in Matthew chapter 5, and we're going to read verses 43 through 48. Matthew 5, 43, 48. The Word of God says, "You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you to love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on evil and the good. He sends rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Or not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Don't even the pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Now, some of you think, well, I can never be perfect, but you need to put on the righteousness of Christ because he was perfect. Now, when we read these verses, we think Christ has asked us to do something, I want to say something very difficult. And it is challenging. Not only are we to love our enemies, but we are to pray for our enemies. Have you ever truly prayed for somebody that has hurt you physically? Have you ever prayed for somebody that has hurt you emotionally? It's hard. It's hard to love them. But to ask God not only to love them, but to bless them as well, it can seem too much. But we have to remember that God created all people in his image. He created both the good people and the bad people. And before you were saved, maybe some of you were hurt by the same people who prayed for you. They may have prayed for your salvation, and they may have prayed blessings for you. And it's because of that prayer and the love that you are a Christian today. Can you think back to before you were a Christian, maybe the Christians that were around you that probably did pray for you, and they probably brought your name before the throne room of God, and they prayed for you, and they wept for you, and here you are today. Maybe because of that prayer that you are a Christian today. Because the love of our Father in heaven and the acceptance of Jesus Christ as our Savior, we are sons and daughters of God. And I know we talked about that just the other night, being a son and a daughter of God. But the Bible says that we are to act differently. We are to act differently as the world acts. We are called out, "Be ye separate." The Bible says you'll know you're my disciples because of the love that you have. We are to set the example and show the light and the love of Christ, to show the love of Christ in us. Because when you become a born-again believer, he takes residence up in you. Before we were saved, God loved us. And now that you are saved, God not only loves you, but remembers. He calls you your son. He calls you a daughter. This new year, maybe let's make a resolution that we will love everyone and pray for his or her salvation. And I want to say, when Jesus says everyone, he just meant that. He meant male and female. He meant old and young. He meant all skin colors, all religion, all races, all religions, / all cults, the righteous and the unrighteous. We should pray for them. We should pray that they would come to the saving knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Because one day, not long ago, you were the prodigal. One day, not long ago, you were an enemy of God. And somebody prayed for you. There are none, not one, that we should not pray for. But we should pray for all. And we should love all. We are not to love the sin in a person's life, but we are called to love that person because God created him just as God created us. So this year, if you're looking at the Word of God, will you make a New Year's resolution to love everyone you meet and to pray for them? That's a challenge. That's a challenging New Year's resolution. I hope that through those messages on some of these that you are challenged. And some of these you can check off and say, I'm doing that. I want to say for parents and grandparents, maybe we should make a New Year's resolution to raise our kids God's way. if you will, look at Deuteronomy 4, verses 9 through 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. The Bible says, only be careful and watch yourselves closely that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them slip from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. Remember that one day you stood before the Lord your God and he said to me, assemble the people before me to hear my words so that they may learn and revere me as long as they live in the land and may teach them to their children. I want to say, do you realize, and I'm sure that you do if you're sitting here this morning, do you realize, parents and grandparents, that you are a steward of your children and grandchildren? And I think about this church, and I see the grandparents who bring their grandkids. And I see the parents who bring their kids, even their little kids. And you're bringing them. And I want to say to you, God bless you. Keep up the good work. Keep fighting the fight. God has given each parent a responsibility to train up a child in the Lord. And I want to say, this can't be passed on to someone else. This can't solely be passed on to the Sunday school teacher, to the youth pastor, to the pastor. Parents and grandparents, it's passed on to you. God gave you the children, and what a blessing they are. Oftentimes I think, what did I even do before I had kids? And me and my wife, we were married for, I want to say, quite a few years before we had kids. My parents didn't think we were ever going to have them. They're like, when are you going to give me some grandkids? I'm like, man, my brother and sister done took care of that. They beat me to that race. I'm in no hurry. And then I remember the night that my wife told me that she was pregnant with Grace. I got to be honest with you, I was a little scared because I didn't know what she was going to say. She just said, we need to talk. I don't know about you, but when somebody says that, I remember years dating before that. You know what that meant? Something's not going right. We need to talk. And I remember we went down to Hooks Airport. I used to love to go to Hooks Airport. You could go there, you could sit along the runway, and you could watch the planes land. And that was a lot of our dates and pastimes. Didn't have a lot of money. We'd go get some Taco Bell or some Jack in the Box, and we would go to Hooks Airport and just watch the planes land. And me, when you get me around planes, man, I get like a little kid. I get all giddy, and I'm just tunnel vision on the planes, and I'm looking, and she's like, I need to talk to you. I'm like, okay, all right, I need to talk to you. And finally, like, I was a little nervous, and then she told me that we're going to have a baby. And man, I remember thinking, everything's got to change. I have got to grow up. I got to start taking this thing serious. And man, I started praying for her. And I started praying for this baby, and I think, all right, I got to grow up. I really got to start doing things now. Kind of reminds me, I ran across this story, and it said, a father once said to his son, you better get ready. The bus will be here soon to pick you up for Sunday school. So the boy asked his father, he said, did you go to Sunday school when you were a boy? And his dad said, well, of course I did. I went to Sunday school. Well, as the boy was getting dressed, he said, well, it probably won't do me any good either. Huh. Whoa. What that little boy was saying, that the church did not have an impact on his father's life. Because, you see, the father was sending his son to Sunday school, but he was sending him by bus. He wasn't taking the time to actually take him himself and leading by example. I want to tell you, that's the sermon that the kids remember. They want to find out what's important to you as parents and grandparents. They really want to see if you're living the life. We need to do what Proverbs 22:6 says. It says this, it says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will follow it. I love the little post that comes out there. Sometimes it shows this little kid in a cowboy hat and some jeans. And his dad says, watch your step. And the little boy says, no, Dad, watch yours because I'm following you. Whew. I don't know about you. I got three kids. That really just like, man, okay. I will watch it. You know, this guy named Don Highlander, and he says this. He says, as parents, we are working in partnership with God to bring our children from a self-centered lifestyle to a God-centered lifestyle. If you will, turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, we're going to read verses 5 through 9. I want to tell you, verse 5 is probably one of my favorite Bible verses. Oftentimes I think in youth ministry and in Sunday school, when I'm working with kids or teaching chapel or teaching a Bible study or whatever it is, I have this verse in my mind. The Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might." And these words which I commanded thee, they shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest by the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them on the sign for their hand, and thou shalt on the frontlets between their eyes, and thou shalt write them on the posts of thy house and on thy gates. To me that says, I am Jesus everything. Not just at work, not just at church, not just when I'm out, but everything. My whole life is consumed with Christ. He's in me. He's in my heart. If he's in my heart, when I speak, he comes out. He's in my mind. When he's in my mind, he comes out. He's just everywhere. Our goal is, according to Dr. Charles Stanley, is this: to produce responsible adults who are able to function independently of parents' authority, yet wholly submitted to God's authority. And I think if anything I want for my kids, that's what I want. Because I won't be there every day to help them make decisions. And I want to say to you parents and grandparents, do you know and have you seen, there's no better feeling when you see your child, when you see them make a decision that was a godly decision, when you witness them make a decision and the world is pressed against them, the culture is pressed against them, their friends are pressed against them, pulling them to come a different direction, follow this way, and yet they swim upstream. They swim across stream and against the current, and they make a decision that just made you so proud. I was talking with a church member about that just the other week. I've seen it in my own kids. When they make that decision, I think, man, I may be messing up a lot, but that is what it's about as a parent. To see them make godly choices and standing on godly principles, because you won't be there every day to help them do that. And when you start seeing them do that on their own, I think to myself, I got a lot of things wrong. But I pray that I get that right. You know, another resolution is we need to make a resolution to forgive. Listen to the Bible in Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. The Bible tells us that when we ask for forgiveness from God, He forgives and no longer remembers those sins. Those sins are separated as far as the east from the west. You know, the east and the west, they never meet. They're separate. And God doesn't remember them, and He doesn't hold them against you. We only have to ask for forgiveness once for a particular sin, and God won't remember it. Do you remember whenever you came to Christ in salvation and you repented of your sins? And it was like a weight was just lifted off of you. Do you remember that day? It felt like you could probably fly, like you could just float off into the sky. Ezekiel 4:32 says, Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. I think what's important about that verse is just as in Christ. You have to be in Christ first. So when you think about a New Year's resolution, maybe your New Year's resolution should be first to be in Christ, to repent of your sins, to come to Christ. You know, this year, to make a new resolution to truly forgive and to hold grudges and to remember those sins no more. You know, it's easy to hold a grudge and it's easy to hold something against somebody. I want to say one of Satan's greatest weapons is the weapon of offense. To offend somebody. You know, I think about that sometimes. The Bible says that we don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against principalities. And oftentimes when I feel when somebody has said something against me, and I know sometimes I fail on this, and I think, man, I got to do better. But in my mind, immediately I think, I don't fight against flesh and blood. I fight against principalities. We have an enemy out there who's prowling. He's looking who he can devour. And if he can't attack you, guess who he attacks next? He attacks the person next to you. He knows their weaknesses. He knows everything in their past that got them to fall. He knows what they like. He knows what particular sin they love. And he feeds that. And so he says, well, I can't get him. Well, I'm going to get the person next to him. I'm going to attack that person. And I'm going to watch that person. And I'm going to see if I can get that person to attack that person. We have an enemy out there, and we don't fight against flesh and blood, but we fight against principalities. We fight against authorities. So next time someone offends you, think to yourself, I'm not fighting against this person, but there is a spirit around that maybe is attacking this person and attacking the person that they know and the person that they know. And then we should pray for that person. Maybe just take that person by the hand and pray for them. But I know a lot of times when we're going through these struggles and we're going through these challenges and somebody's offended us, somebody has done something to us emotionally or physically, we want justice and we want revenge and we want that person to get what they deserve. Can I tell you that God says vengeance is mine? And when I think about that, I think about my three kids. I have three kids, and this is the first time I've ever been a father to an 18-year-old, a 15-year-old, and a 9-year-old. First time in my life. I'm learning as I go. But as a dad, I can get really upset when I see one of my kids hurting another one of my kids. If you want to see this man get mad, that is what I'll tell you, I'll lose it. Talk about this morning in Sunday school. And something changes. I'm like, I get very protective, like, hey, I want to make sure all of them are protected and all of them are loved. Your Heavenly Father feels the same way about you. He loves you. He will protect you. Now, as far as my kids, if I want to really get mad at them, have one of them disrespect their mother. Man, that'll get me off the couch quick. You disrespect their mother? I tell my kids all the time, hey, that's my girlfriend. You don't talk to my girlfriend that way. That's my wife. You don't get to talk to my wife that way. I will get bent sideways fast when I see one of my kids disrespect my wife. Can I tell you, God says vengeance is mine. When one of his children disrespect his other children, he will justify that. He will rectify that. We should pray for that. Let God handle that. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians 13. We're going to read verses 1 through 3. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 3. The Bible says, though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels and have not charity. King James says charity. Your Bible may say love. So when I say charity, put a hyphen in there and put love in there and think about this. I have become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith and I can remove mountains and I have all charity love. I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. I am bankrupt without it. You see, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than it does for self. Love doesn't keep score of sins of others. Love trusts God always. Love always looks for the best. It never looks back. If you need an example of that, look at Lot's wife. Don't look back. Love keeps going to the very end. So maybe our New Year's resolution to be truly to love them and forgive them. And I want to say for the next New Year's resolution is make a resolution to fulfill the Great Commission. If you will, look in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20. The Bible says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Your Bible may say, even to the end of the age. I am with you always. I am with you when you struggle. I am with you when you fight the addictions. I'm with you when you're going through divorce. I'm with you in the hospital. I'm with you when you're fighting COVID. I'm with you when you're wearing this mask. I am with you. I want to ask you a question. Have you been fulfilling your part of this Great Commission? You know, this Great Commission wasn't just for the disciples, but it was a command for all believers. We're to go out, we're to tell others about the love and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, how many non-believers have you told about Jesus this year? When you left the house, did you plan for it? Did you maybe get ready for it? Did you think, "I'm going to take this track just in case. I'm going to keep this little Bible in my pocket just in case. When I'm at the gas station, I'm gonna think, maybe God will plan this meeting and will give me this opportunity. Maybe when I'm at the doctor's office, I can give somebody a ray of hope. Maybe when I see that person broke down on the side of the road." I don't know. I do believe that God sets up meetings for us, and it's our opportunity to be a witness to Christ in this world. And sometimes I think when we stand before Him, all those will come up and says, "You know, I put this person in your path, but you kind of got focused on something else. I put this person in your path, and they really needed to hear. They really needed to hear a word." And over my life, I think about the people God has put in my path, and just a few days later, a few weeks later, heard that they passed on. And I know some of them, I dropped the ball on that. And I may have got focused on something else, or I was in too big of a hurry, and that's how life gets. So really, I know that's one of my resolutions is, man, just take each and every opportunity I can. You know, whether it's in the aisle of Walmart, or the grocery store, or the gas station. And would you believe it, even if it's right here in these pews? Right here. We're to go out and tell others. You were saved today because somebody told you about the good news of Jesus Christ. It may have been another brother in Christ. It may have been your Sunday school teacher. It may have been a family member. It may have been a complete stranger, but somebody told you about Christ. You know, I think I have family that does not live in the state of Texas. I have some that live in Florida, and I have some that live in Tennessee, and some living in other places. Man, I don't even know where they're all at. They just, you know, after a while, they just seem to spread out. And I think to myself, I can't be in every one of those states, and I can't be in every one of my towns. But God says, I have many people out there. I have them all over the place. I have them in places that you'll never go. And I think, wherever they're at, would God please, Lord, please raise these people up and give them the boldness to be a witness and just share your love. I pray that, you know, if my brother's at the gas station, that somebody will witness to him. If my little nephew is broke down and got a flat tire, that God will send a Christian man to come along his way and witness to him. And I know God will raise those people up, and they will be a testimony and a witness to him. Because I can't cover them all. And I think somewhere in Tennessee, there's a person praying, I wish there was a guy in Texas that would witness to my brother-in-law. I'm that guy. You're that guy. You're that gal. Somebody or somewhere else, somebody's praying for you that you will have the boldness to tell their family member about Jesus. So when the good Lord strikes you and the Holy Spirit presses upon you, I pray that you will have the boldness to do what we hope our kids will do and stand up and rise up and tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. We are to tell everyone about Christ. If you look at today's world is a lost and dying world. And it is falling apart. You watch the news a little long enough and you'll see there are things going on 20 years ago we would have never thought. 30 years ago you would have thought I would never see the day when this happens. And when I look out in church this morning, I think that very well just by seeing everybody wear a mask. I think, man, 2 years ago I would have never thought this. A year ago, you would have never thought that this would be something that we would be struggling with and dealing with. You know, but the Lord says that He is the great physician. He created the heavens and the earth, and all authority was given to Him. So I lean on that, and I press into that. And I think, or this old preacher man said this a little while ago, and I've kind of attached to it. And if you've been around me very long, you've heard me say this already, that things are looking so good because things are looking so bad. Who knows what next year will look like? I have no idea. But I know this. I'm standing on the truth and the foundation of God. And where He goes, I go. And what's beautiful about that is where I go, He goes, because He resides in me. And He resides in you. So no matter how bad this world looks, Jesus just says, keep your eyes focused on me. Don't worry about this. Keep it focused on me. Don't worry about this COVID. Keep it focused on me. Don't worry about this finances. I've got you. Keep it focused on me. Did you know that you will not leave this earth 1 second, 1 minute, 1 hour, 1 day that God has not already ordained? He already knows the day. He already knows the circumstance. He already knows the reason. Press into Him. Lean into Him. God is the creator of all things. You know, the Bible says that the harvest is plentiful, but the labors are few. Often think about that verse that says, who will I send? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Is that your resolution for this year? Here I am, Lord. Send me. Wherever you go, I will follow. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Make a New Year's resolution that you will tell a different person about Christ every week, every day, if possible. When you leave your house, maybe make a plan. You know, when you really think about it, it only takes a few minutes. It only takes a few minutes out of your busy schedule, but the reward could be greater than anything you have ever experienced. greater than anything that you could ever imagine. The ripple effect for that could literally mean eternity for other people out there. You know, we live in a day and time to where you could literally be a missionary around the world, right? I mean, we have what? FaceTube, we have Facebook, we have YouTube, you have Twitter if you want to tweet. I don't know, get it out there. Somehow, some way, send it out there. Just keep sending it. It gets rejected, keep sending it. Or you could do it the old-fashioned way. I got to tell you, every once in a while, I'll get a couple cards in the mail. There's these two ladies out there that they write cards that I know of, and I'm sure many of you probably do too, but they actually write them, and they mail them. And it's weird to say that that's old-fashioned, but that's what it is. And sometimes I get a birthday card in the mail. Or the other day I got one, and it was just somebody telling me that they were praying for me and that they wished me and my family the best. God is with you. Thank you. And I got to tell you, it really lifted my spirit, because I think about this world and all the things that are going in. I think it can be easy to get down inside of that and think how challenging and how struggle of that, and really kind of have almost a pity party about everything that is going on. But I think we live in the most exciting time ever. God has placed you in this time right now for a purpose and for a reason. You don't have to be a Bible scholar. You don't have to be a scholar on prophecy to see this Bible coming to life, to see the things that are going on in this world coming to life. I don't know, maybe we're living in the last days. Maybe. I know God says you'll see it, you'll know it. My people who read my book will see these things and they'll know it. And, man, I don't know about you, but I see it. And I think, wow, this could be what it looks like. I'm just going to keep focused on God. I'm going to keep focused on His word, His will, and His way. Whatever's happening in the world, God is in control of all that. I'm going to keep telling people about Jesus. I'm going to keep telling people about the saving grace of Christ. You know, I want to say this that in closing, that if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, you need to know this. If you're listening online and you don't know Jesus, you need to know this. And it's the simple truth. And it comes out of the book of John. And the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him and shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him." Amen. You know, we just celebrated Christmas. And when I read that, Merry Christmas. God sent us a gift. It was the birth of Christ. Merry Christmas. It goes on to say, "Whoever believes in Him is not condemned." But it also goes on to say, "But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son, and that is Christ Jesus." You see, not to make a choice, you have made a choice. Not to make a choice, you've actually drawn a line in the sand and you say, "I choose not to believe." There is no neutral. Jesus said, "I wish you were cold, I wish you were hot, but not lukewarm. I will spit you out of my mouth." So I pray today that as we go into this new year, that you are hot, that you are on fire, that you will press into God and you'll see the climate where we're at and think, "I've got to tell everyone, I've got to tell anyone about this Savior named Jesus Christ." I want you to know that God loves you. And I want you to know that there's nothing that you could do that God would not forgive you of. Nothing. He created you. He wants to have fellowship with you. But you must accept His one and only Son, Jesus, as your Savior. The Bible says in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And if no one comes to the Father but by me." There is no other way. There is no way to work yourself there. Jesus is the gate. He is the way. You cannot climb over the gate. You cannot go around the gate. You must go through Christ. I want to tell you, dear friend, that you don't have to change first. So if you do struggle with some addiction, if you do struggle with some sin, if there's something in your life and you think, I can't get past this, God will never love me because of this, you don't have to change first. God will help you with that. But this is what you have to do. And this is what the Bible says. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10, it says this, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Remember, we talked about what was in your heart will come out. And if Christ is in your heart, then it'll come out and it'll show. Now remember, you don't have to change first. So listen to Ezekiel 36:26. The Bible says, I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you that heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. So if you're here this morning, or if you're listening this morning, and you're struggling with some kind of sin, you're struggling with addiction, I don't know, maybe it's a different lifestyle, and you think, I can never come to Christ like this, he tells you, I will give you a new heart, and I will put in you a new spirit, and I will remove that heart of stone, I will remove that addiction, I will remove that lifestyle, I will remove that way of thinking, I will take it away, and I will give you my heart of flesh. And I will make you a new creature. I will make you a new creation. Because off with the old and on with the new. You know, in a minute, Jeremiah's going to come up and we're going to sing one last Christmas song. And I thought about this. This will be my last sermon in the year of our Lord, 2020. We have one more, I think, on Wednesday night. And every time I preach a sermon, I think, all right, there's so many people in here. I pray they're all saved. I pray when they leave these doors that they know Jesus as their Lord and our Savior. But what about the one who's not? What about the one who for some reason is still holding back and has not humbled themselves before the Lord and repented of their sins and have come to Christ? What if this is their message? What if this is the one? What if this is the last one? And so I want to say that the invitation is always open. From the first song to the last song, from the unlocking of the door to the locking of the door, it's always open. And I got to be honest with you, you don't need some preacher to lead you to the Lord, even though I would love to. The Holy Spirit can take you there. If you are at home, if you're in your car, humble yourself before Christ. Repent of your sin. And ask the Lord to be your Lord and your Savior. Right there, right now, wherever you are. If you want to come down, I will pray with you. I'll put my mask on. I'll lather up on some sanitizer. I will lay my hands on you, and we will pray. And we will come before the throne room of God. And we'll ask him to forgive us of our sins. And then at that moment, we'll ask him to be the Lord and Savior of your life, of my life. And he says it'll be from the east to the west. It'll be no more. And you will rise up a new creature, a new creation, a new heart. You'll have a new spirit. You'll have a new purpose, and you will have a new life. And you will be a citizen of that great city called heaven. Amen. But I want to tell you that Jesus is the one who said he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Is that you? And then you too can become a son and a daughter of a living God. And I want to ask you, if God is calling you right now, if God has pressed it upon you, and the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart, and the Holy Spirit is drawing you in right now, don't wait another year. Don't wait another 3 days, another 5 days. Don't wait another moment. If he is calling you, answer the call. If he is calling you, Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. But you have to open the door because he will not force himself upon you. Oftentimes I wish he would. I think, dear Lord, I wish he would. And then I think maybe I need to yell a little louder. Maybe I need to walk a little faster. I don't know. But if he's calling you, answer his call. And before we adjourn, I want to say this. If you will, just take a moment. Just take a moment where you're sitting right here, right now, and bow your heads and close your eyes and prayerfully tell God what your New Year commitment is. Tell him what your commitment is this year to him. And please be honest. If you're struggling with something, tell him, I'm struggling with this. Will you help me defeat this and conquer this? And he's quick to answer. I want you to search your heart and tell God of your commitment. Maybe there is a lost family member, a lost friend, a lost acquaintance. Maybe there is somebody that you just have a grudge against and you can't get over it. Will you take that to the Lord? Will you humble yourselves and bow before the throne of God and take that to him and make that your New Year's resolution? Make the salvation of your lost friends and family members and those you meet out there your New Year's resolution. Because I tell you, we are entering a time like never before. You know, I look forward to the rapture, but I often think whether it's collectively or whether it's individually, one day we will all cross that threshold. I'd love to see it. I'd love to see that twinkling of an eye and go up to be with him and called up. But I don't know if I'll make it. I don't know if today is the day that God will call me home. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what next week holds or next month or next year, but I know that God does. And I don't know if we have another chance. I don't know if there will be another chance to accept this gift of eternal life to be with God in heaven forever. Will there be another chance? So I want to ask you, though, if he is pulling on your heart, and maybe you've sat in this pew for 20 years. Maybe you've sat in this pew for 5 years. Maybe you've been watching online and you think, I don't know if I've ever given my life to Christ. Make this your New Year's commitment that today will be the day of your salvation. Today will be the day that you are a son and a daughter of God. And today will be the day that your name is added into that Lamb's Book of Life, and you will become citizens of his great city, heaven. What a New Year's revolution. So I want to say, if he's pressed upon you, come now. Accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. For today, salvation has come to your house. In Jesus' name, if you will, bow your eyes, close your heads, think about this, and we'll close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that right now that your Holy Spirit is working within the hearts of the people of this congregation, for the people listening online right now, for those who may listen online next week, next month, or next year. I don't know, Father, but you know. I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in their heart. I pray, Lord, that you would change their heart from a stone to heart of flesh, and you would reside within them. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the boldness to stand up and proclaim the good news of Christ. I pray, Father, for any of those out there on the other side of this prayer who are listening to these words, who do fight addiction, who fight drug addiction, alcohol addiction, whatever it is, Lord, I pray, Father, in the name of Christ, that you would bind that. I pray, Father, that you would bind any evil spirit, any evil person, or even a thing, Father, and you would cast it away, Father, that they would not hear the voice of the enemy, Lord, but they would hear your voice. They would hear you calling them unto repentance. They would hear you, Father, calling them unto salvation. I pray, Father, for all those who are here and all those who are listening, Father. I pray for their families. I pray, Lord, that you would charge your angels to protect them in all of their ways, in their households, Fathers, in their comings and their goings. I pray, Father, that you would just protect them and you would put a hedge of protection around them, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would give them a boldness like never before to proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. And I pray, Lord, that as we leave this building, that you would give them a boldness like never before. I pray, Father, that you would give us meetings, Father, that we could share the good news of Jesus. I pray, Father, for anybody who is here or anybody who is listening that is confused, that's searching for the truth. I pray, Lord, that you would do a mighty work in them. I pray, Father, that you would rise up your people, godly people, who can give them counsel, who can give them witness, who can give them testimony of your Son, Jesus. I pray, Lord, that even right now as we're praying this, Father, that you are putting people on our minds and on our hearts that we can witness to, that we can show them the love of Christ. I pray, Father, for that person who feels brokenhearted, who feels broken down and lost and confused, Father, and who is on the edge. I pray, Father, that you would send your angels around them. I pray, Lord, that you would send your people around them. And I pray, Father, that they would come to you. We know, Lord, that your word says that you'll never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you for that, and we love you for that. I pray, Father, for those parents and those grandparents out there, Lord, who are raising these children, who are trying to raise them in a godly way, and I pray that you would strengthen them. I pray, Father, for those out there who find it hard to forgive somebody, Lord, I pray that you would just soften their heart, soften their spirit. I pray, Lord, that you would give them the gift of forgiveness. And I pray, Father, for those out there who do find it hard to love, that they would just show the love of Christ, that they would stay so focused on Jesus, Father, that they can't help but love all those who are around them, all those who they come in contact with. I pray, Father, that you would help each and every one of us to be a better man, a better woman, to be a better Christian. But we can only do this through your strength. We can only do this through the power of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we just come before you. We humbly bow before you today, Lord. We ask for all these things. We ask for your provision. We thank you for your blessing. We ask, Lord, that you just forgive us of where we fail you. But we just want to say here this morning, Lord, as we approach the new year, how much we love you and how much we thank you for all that you do for us. The things that we see and the things that we don't even see and don't even know about, Father, we thank you. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, Jeremiah. Well, as Jeremiah comes down, we sing one more song. I want to say thank you. God bless you. Thank you for the opportunity to bring you a message this morning. I pray that it touched your heart. I pray that it challenged your spirit. May the Lord bless you and may he protect you. What song would I like to sing? Didn't you say it was a Christmas song?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, you can pick it or we can sing.
Wait a Major sounds good. Yeah, I like it.
Look down from the sky.
and stay by my side until morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask thee to stay close by me forever, and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in thy tender care, and fit us for heaven to live with.